You know, Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall live by, not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." The Contemporary English says, "Jesus answered, the scripture says, no one can live only on food. People need every word that God has spoken." Now, I want to talk about living by the spoken word tonight. When he was in the wilderness, facing temptation, he used the word to get over temptation. Now, what we need to realize, and most people don't, they always want to think about him as Jesus, the Son of God. For the 3 years that he lived on earth before he went to the cross, before that fateful night that they had the Passover feast, and he instituted the communion, which is the Christian's Passover, he lived as a man, the Son of Man. That's why he's called the Son of Man and the Son of God. And he overcome the temptation by the living Word of God. So what we need to realize is that Jesus was our example to overcome all the obstacles and the situations, and he did it by the Word of God. He quoted the Word of God. He quoted what the Word said. We need to realize that if we are going to defeat the enemy, we're not going to do it with prayer. Prayer's important. But actually, there are many times that we just need to quote the Word of God rather than pray. That's what the authority of the believer is all about, is quoting the Word. And I'm not minimizing prayer. And at least we need prayer. But all I'm saying is there's sometimes people are praying when all they need to do is quote what the Word of God says. Hello, you there? You gone home already? You know, if we're going to get through our situations, our difficulties, our circumstances, everything the enemy throws at us, we are going to do it by quoting what the Word of God says. The answer to your difficulty or your trial is found in the powerful Word of God. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. These are words from the mouth of God right here, the Bible. People say, well, people talk, God never talks to me. Well, if you read your Bible, he's talking to you. Come on. Now, the Word of God is, I just like to say it like this. I don't know how theologically correct I am. I did go to Bible school. I did study theology and stuff. But I like to say that the Word of God is a living organism. It is living. You know why I say that? Because Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Basic English, that's New King James. Basic English says, "For the Word of God is living and full of power." Another translation says, "For the Word of God is living and powerfully working." The Weymouth translation says, "For the Word of God is full of life and power." Moffat says, "For the Logos of God is a living thing, active." The Word of God is living and active. But it only becomes active when you get it off of the pages and get it into your spirit and into your heart. That's why it's so important to renew your mind. Renew your mind. What does that say there in Romans? It says to what? Anybody know what it says? Okay. You see, so many times we expect the pastor to tell you what it says. I wanted you to find out what it says, but I'm going to go read it, okay? I'm going to read it from here so I can go to a different translation if I want to. Okay. What is that? Romans, what is it? Romans 12, 12, 2, right? All right. You got it. Okay. Now, sometimes some people say, well, why do you do that? Because I want people to get out of the habit of having me all read all the scripture. I want you to be, when I mention it, I want you to, you should have it in your mind right then. Just like the count, just like the multiplication table. All right? I like the, what the, the reason I said that, because I want you to get to think, because I want to read it from the Passion Translation. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions in the culture around you, but inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit, through the true total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will, and you will live a beautiful life, satisfying life. I want you to know that it says you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we're born again, our spirit is immediately. But we have to do something about our mental faculties, our emotions. Now it said, when you read that in the other New King James Translation, hit the wrong button. You ever done that? Here it is. It is, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, transformed. What does that mean? Something is changed. Okay? Now, in America, we operate on a 110 volt system. In Kenya and Greece and almost every other country besides us, they operate on 220. Actually, coming into your house, coming into here, they hold a lot more volts than that, but they break it down. But coming into your house, it comes into your house in 220. But that breaker, in that breaker box, they change it and change it to 110. Now, if you go overseas and you plug your hairdryer or your electric razor or a curling iron, the minute you plug it in there and turn it on, it goes, pew, right? But you can get a little deal. Some of them are square like that. Some of them. And you can plug it into that deal. And then you can plug your 110 in there, because that is called a transformer. It transforms that and changes it. That's why it says here, renew your mind with the word of God, because when you renew your mind with the word of God, it transforms it from the old way of thinking into the way of thinking in line with God and what God has to say. That's why it's so important to get a hold of the word of God and begin to live in the word of God, living by the spoken word. We talk about it all the time. Spoken word. That's what rhema is. Actually, rhema is just a Greek word. It means spoken word. It's any word. But we mean it to mean to the spoken logos. Right? Spoken word of God. We all know John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. If you're born again, you're abiding in Christ. But I got a question for you. Is the word abiding in you? See? You read the word. You meditate on the word until it comes off of the pages and becomes a part of you. That's why I keep harping at you all the time. Meditate on the word. Read the word. Study the word. How many of you went to school? Well, about 3/4 of the crowd went to school. You know, there's some people, they won't raise their hand for anything. You know, this one preacher, my father-in-law told this, and I like it's fun. I tell, he said this one preacher, he got in front of the congregation, he said, how many of them want to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand but one man. And he said, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, but I thought you was getting up a load to go right now. Okay, now we've got everybody's attention back. We can go on. But how many of you remember studying the multiplication table? How many years, every year, you went back to school for 4 or 5 years and you went over it again? Even though you had studied in the third grade, that's one of the first things they did in the fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, until it was such a part of you that you don't even have to think about it when somebody throws a number at you. 9 times 9. How many of you had to think? The minute I said it, it popped in your mind, right? That's what we need to do with the word of God so we can live by the spoken word. We need to have it so ingrained in us and so a part of us that when the devil slaps us up beside the head, out of our mouth immediately comes the word. That's what I mean by living by the spoken word. Everybody wants to live by the spoken word, but they don't want to pay the price to get the spoken word. Takes time to study. You know, everybody, I don't know how it is now. I mean, I played ball back in the 50s in high school. But there's a lot of guys, they wanted to play, and they made the team, but they wasn't willing to put the work in to get on the field to play. They were satisfied just to sit on the sidelines with a uniform on. I told one guy one time, he said, well, I just wanted to make a team, you know, man. And you know, if you make a team and we win, you get a letter and all that kind of stuff. And he said, I said, I care less about that. Hey, if I'm not playing, I'm not gonna bother to go to all the practices. And you can tell these guys at practice, they don't put out any effort. In fact, they cause us to have to run an extra 100 yards or do a duck crawl. Oh Lord, that hurts. Anybody ever had to do the duck crawl? Oh, that ain't no fun. But they don't put out. Why? Because they're not willing to do what is necessary to get out there on that field and really play. There are many people that are born again, sitting in the pew at church, and they talk about how they love Jesus and so forth, but then they gripe because they see somebody else having all these blessings. And well, I don't understand why I'm not getting blessed. I don't understand. Like one guy said, I don't understand why I don't get to play, Hagin. I said, I can tell you why. You don't practice hard. Well, I don't want to do that. I said, well, if you want to play, that's what you're going to have to do. See, some Christians get upset with other Christians because they're getting blessing and they're not, but they're not willing to get into the word. They're not willing to read the word. Oh, I start talking like that, I lose a lot of my amens now. Because I'm telling you, you got to do something. You ever notice how everybody's excited until somebody starts saying, well, now, you got to, oh, wait a minute, that changes the whole, changes the whole ball game right there. Hello. See, when the word is in you, it will change you. When the word is in you, it will help you to change everything around you. When the word is in you, it will bring deliverance and healing and protection. It'll bring a full supply of whatever you need. When the word's in you, you can expect to have protection. Yeah. I was in my office just before I came over here. My phone gave me that signal, and I checked it, and it says, severe thunderstorm for Tulsa County until 12 o'clock tonight. I immediately, out of my mouth, said, no weapon formed against me will prosper. All Rhema property is protected in the name of Jesus. According to the word of God, I have the right to claim that because I'm the head of this. And I claim protection for all of our houses, my kids' houses, my grandkids' houses. And I agree with my parishioners for their protection. See, I don't have the authority to speak that for you. I can agree with you. You're going to have to take the word and speak it yourself. We were, up in Branson last Thursday night and Friday. And we have a weather radio, and all of a sudden it starts going off. And they said there's tornado over Branson, by Branson West and over by Reed Springs. And that's just sort of north and west. And it was moving right across and going east. We immediately began to take authority. See, don't wait till it's there on you. I mean, when I hear tornado watch, if you wait till the warning, it's too late because the warning means it's on you. When I hear tornado watch, I start making some confessions according to the word of God. That's what you do when you're living in the word. I don't know. I saw the other night, it come on my phone that a car had been stolen and there was a kid in the car. I immediately began to pray for protection for that child. I don't know who it is. But you see, when there is disaster, immediately you begin to pray out of your spirit, out of the word, because the word is in you, and that's what the word does. It cares about others. Thank God, so far none of our people in Kentucky has been hit. But when I saw it on the news and they were talking about they were going over that direction up there when I was in Branson, they were going across, going that way. I began to thank God for protection for all the Rhema people. Now, I don't have a right to command. I can say I agree with them for protection. They got to take care of themselves. Come on. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? See, some people try to take authority when they don't have the right to take authority. They have a right to believe with somebody, but they don't. I don't have a. I mean, you got to learn how to. I got to go. I got to keep going. When you have the word in you, you can change. I've heard people say, well, this can't change. Yes, you can. The word says you can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens you. And that says all things. It did say spiritual things. It said all things. That means natural and spiritual. You can change if you want to. Well, I'm just Irish. And they always fight. Well, they don't have to. Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah. I guess I have to control myself because that's my descent. Our original name was O'Hagans originally. But anyway, y'all, I think y'all understand what I'm trying to say. We got to live by the word. Our life has to be in the word and through the word and with the word. Of course, we know what it says in Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with things which are visible. God said it, and it was. He tells us the same thing. Jesus tells us have the kind of faith God has. And he tells you the kind of faith God had. God, when he said you speak to the mountain and it has to move. The kind of faith that God has, well, he spoke. He spoke the worlds into existence. You can speak and it has to come to pass according to the word of God. And of course, we come right back. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Not just you read the word, not just you heard it, they abide. Abide means taking up residence. Hello? The word of God is powerful. It's living. And Paul said, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe I spoke. We also believe and we speak. See, as a believer from the word of God, from being born in Christ, we take the word off of the pages and put them into our hearts, our spirits, in other words. We call it heart, but we don't mean our heart that pumps blood. We mean our spirit. That's the man on the inside. And we speak the word. I've said it twice. I'll say it again. Just leaving the word on the printed page will do you no good. You have to have it in you. It has to be a part of you. Many try to, well, they run to get the Bible, and they will start reading, and they will read the printed page. No, you don't need it. It needs to come out of you because you've read it, and you've put it in there, and it comes out. We saw a wreck not long ago, and I remember immediately I began to pray for the people. See, that's when you have the word in you. The word in you reaches out to somebody. Jesus Christ was always reaching out to people. God was all, read the Old Testament, God was always reaching out to his people. He wanted to bless his people. Israel was his people. We are his people through adoption according to what the word of God says. And so he wants to bless us. He wants to bless us with the blessing of Abraham. It says so in Galatians 3. Go read it. But you're not going to get the blessing if you don't know what it's talking about. There's a lot of people saying, oh, I'm praying, I'm believing God, the blessing of Abraham will come on me. I said, well, what is that? Oh, well, you know what the Bible said in Galatians, says the blessing of Abraham will come on me. I said, yeah, it does. But what is that? Come on now. What is the blessing? Have you studied enough to know what the blessing is? You got to go back in the Old Testament and find out what it is. Find out what that Abrahamic covenant was. See, a lot of people, we need to live in the epistles, but we need to read the Old Testament because Paul says what happened to the people, the Israel there, happened as examples for us. Under that Abrahamic covenant, he made a covenant with him. He said he redeemed from poverty, sickness, and death. right? Okay? That don't mean physical death. That's spiritual death. The Bible said we were dead in our trespasses and sin. You wasn't dead, you was breathing. But spiritually you were. And that's what, and it said Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Right? See, he's promised that we have the adopted children. We are the, I like to say that we are the spiritual descendants of Abraham through Jesus Christ. So therefore, the blessing belongs to us. But you can't live in that blessing unless you know, unless you have been in the Word, got the Word in you, and living in the Word. Anybody getting anything out of this? Let me go on here real quiet. You see, the Word of God in you will refresh you. It will make you stay alive. It'll keep you rejuvenated. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I got to get rejuvenated. Well, hey, if you stay in the Word, you'll stay rejuvenated. If you got the Word in you, you will be empowered. If you got the Word in you, you'll have strength when others are falling in weakness. Daniel 10:19 said, Daniel said, God spoke and I was strengthened. Reading and meditating in the Word will change everything for you. The problem is that some people are trying to live on yesterday's meditation and reading. Somebody said they're trying to live on yesterday's experiences. No, you got to have one today. Have an experience with the Word of God every day. Every day. There are certain scriptures that I like to use for myself every day. And that is, I always try, most of the time I will say, this is the day the Lord made, we're rejoicing. But most every day, many times driving here to the office, driving to teach, I'll say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face today. I don't know what problem's going to come across my desk as the head in the organization. But I thank you for wisdom to handle those. When we receive the offer, every time we receive, I do it all. I do it other times too, during the day. But every time we receive an offer, I thank the Lord that the ministering spirits are going out and causes finances to come so Ramo can continue to keep operating and doing what we're doing all over the world. See, you need to learn how to talk to, if you know the Word of God and know the authority of believer, you know how to talk to the ministering spirits and have them to go and to cause things to change. I'm going to say this. If you got relatives that you want to be born again, the best way is to pray that the Lord would send laborers across their path that they will listen to, and then thank him that laborers are going across their path. Thank God laborers are going across their path that will minister to them, that will speak to their heart, because they're not going to listen to you in the first place. You're just big brother, or you're just little brother. What's he know? You know. I go back home. I see some people I went to high school with, and you know, and they'll say, "Hey, Hagen, how you doing?" And I'm all right. Yeah. They have no earthly idea what I do or anything. I even got relatives that, you know, they don't have a comprehension. How many of you have gone back to your home place and they haven't recognized how that you have changed in the Lord? We all change. You know, I just laugh and go on, you know. But what we need to realize is that we are who we are, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks in the first place. Everybody is always wanting titles. Forget titles, just get into the Word. I was somewhere here a while back, and they said, "Well, what spiritual title do you operate under?" I said, "I operate under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul said, "I don't know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." My dad said this, and I think it's good, and you that have said in his classroom, and many of you here have, you've heard him say that if you have to tell somebody who you are, you're an evangelist, you're this or you're that, you're probably not. He said the gift, if you operate in the gift, then you don't have to tell anybody. I told a guy one time, he said, "Nobody calls me pastor." I said, "Hey, they may give you the title, but to be called pastor is earned." Come on now. See, we need to get in the Word and learn a lot of these things. Don't let somebody pull the wool over your eyes because they call, "Well, I'm apostle so-and-so, I'm prophet so-and-so, and I got a word for you." Hey, I wouldn't pay much attention to it unless it comes from a true ministry gift. See, everybody's trying to put the ministry of the prophet the way it was in the Old Testament. He was the only one that heard from God. In the New Testament, if somebody gives you a prophetic word, it's supposed to do three things. What is it? Exhort, edify, and comfort, right? If it don't do one of those three things, I'd put it on the shelf and forget it. Oh, I'm still talking about living in the Word. See, when we get in the Word and study the Word and begin to live in the Word, then we can't be hoodwinked. If y'all understand that saying, we can't be manipulated. Come on now. I've sort of gone what I call shotgun tonight, if you shoot a rifle or a pistol, it's got a direct, you shoot a shotgun and it just goes everywhere. Sometimes that's the way you do when you preach. But what I'm trying to get a hold of you is the living of God in you will cause you to march around the city that they said can't be taken. It will cause you, it will cause you to be fearless in the time of the storm. The living Word of God in you will help you to overcome every situation that comes your way. The Word of God has to be coming out of your mouth. That living, powerful force coming out of your mouth will change everything. Say it with me. Living in the Word will change me and my surroundings. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand. It's 8 o'clock. It's time for me to quit. You know, some people ask me where I got this title for my Wednesday night. Prayer team, come on down. Where I got this title for Wednesday night. When I was in Bible school in 1959 and 60 and stuff, and people were talking about things, and I said, you know, if I'm ever a pastor, which I probably won't be because I'm an evangelist, and I was for years and years and years. But I said, if I have Wednesday night, and of course, I grew up in the church, and we'd go there and we'd be there sometime. Not when my dad was there, because he didn't keep people like that. But you go, how many of you kids, and you go to Wednesday night church and you're there from 7:30 to 9:30, 10 o'clock. And you got to go home and still got some homework to get and so forth and so on. I said, if I ever have a Wednesday night service, I'm going to have something that, and I'm going to call it Hour of Power. We're going to start and then 1 hour later, we're going home. And I've had other pastors come tell me, said, boy, you have, most people have quit Wednesday night. Now they said, you have a good Wednesday night. I said, yeah, I don't keep them all night. Listen, if you happen to be with us tonight and you don't understand what we're talking about because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you understand what we're talking about, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate your life. As we're dismissed, ladies are here, the men are over here. If you'll come to the front, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, now I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine, I'm talking about what the Bible says. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. If you'd like to be filled with the Spirit, come to the front. They'll pray with you, and you'll be filled with the Spirit. If you need prayer for anything, doesn't matter what it is, if you need prayer, this is our prayer team. They're ready to pray with you, and you won't leave here like you come in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, they made all the announcements. They did it Sunday. They did it again. We will, on the 26th, we will have an all-family service that starts at 10 o'clock, and we're going to do our best to hold it to an hour. I hope that's what happens. But if we don't, we don't. But at least, you know, we're going to do our best. But there will not be a Sunday night service. Okay? On the 26th, there will not be a Sunday night service. And there won't be any School of the Bible. It'll be an all-family service inside here in the main auditorium. All right? Okay. Our first-time guests, we are so glad to have you with us tonight. Would your connection team, would you come and find all of our first-time guests and take them back into the lobby, right out in our north lobby right there. And we have a special gift that we want to give for you. And like they said a while ago, if you're looking for a church home, what do we say again? Welcome home. Come on and join our family. We have a great time serving God around here, bringing hope, help, and healing to the world. So we're so glad to have you. Come if you happen to just be visiting out of town and you're visiting, we invite you to make this your home away from home every time you're in our area. Thank you for being with us today. If you need prayer, come to the front now. Don't forget all the announcements. Read the bulletin. All right. God bless you. Live in the Word and you'll find your life will be different all the time. Come to the front if you need prayer for anything right now. God bless. We'll see you Sunday.